A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello.
Hello, babies.
Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. Am I? Yes, I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, it's hard to answer that sometimes. I'm good. I had like a real roller coaster of a day yesterday. People who follow me on Twitter will have caught a little bit of this saga, but I didn't include. It was like one of those things where, like, if I had tweeted every single step of this, it would have been a more dramatic story. I left out a lot of the beats of it.
Did you find shrimp in your Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Is that what happened?
I found shrimp in my Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and it turns out I'm a really bad person.
we've known you were a bad person for a long time, and now it's finally come out.
So my dad, as many listeners may know, is a very talented seamstress. A seamster.
He's a teamster.
Yeah.
A seamster.
He's been making, specialty garments for our family, and we'll like pick out fabric and the patterns and stuff, and he'll make them for us. And he's been making, bomber jackets a lot lately. And so I was looking at material for the next one that I want. And I was like, you know what I think I want? I want the one from the Seinfeld episode where he gets that suede jacket with the really crazy lining. It's like pink and white stripes. And the whole thing is like, he can't wear the jacket in the rain, so he has to turn it inside out. And he offends Elaine's dad. Anyway, I thought that would be a really funny thing to have. It was so hard to find. I couldn't find the exact right lining. It's like a little bit the wrong color pink, but you still get the idea. Like I went and I didn't go the exact color of the jacket. I just thought it'd be funny to have like the bright pink and white striped lining. Anyway.
Is it made out of suede?
No, it's just, it's corduroy. It's pinwheel,
okay.
Cotton corduroy. So it kind of like looks a little bit like suede, but not really. And so I had him make, and it's not even the exact same color. The joke is mostly that the lining is similar and funny.
Right.
And he made me a jacket, and then he made Peter a jacket, and he sent mine first, but Peter's got here first. And my dad finally was like, where is your jacket? Like, it should have been delivered by now. And we found the tracking number, and it said it had been delivered on like a week ago.
Fuck.
And it wasn't here. And so, for a lot of reasons, this is not a package that I want to go missing. It took him hours to make it. It's irreplaceable. I didn't want to, like, I wasn't going to make him make me the jacket again, but he was so, we were both really distraught. Like, what does this mean? I thought maybe it had gotten delivered to someone else in our neighborhood, because I sometimes get mail that's meant for people like who have the same number, but don't live on a different street in the neighborhood. It happens a lot. And I usually just go drop it off at their house. And so I was like, I don't know what to do, because it says it was delivered. I didn't get it. I'm always home. There's no chance for people to steal things from my porch. We've never had anything stolen from our porch before anyway. Like, I don't know why they would all of a sudden start now, and they would start with one that was clearly not like from a store. And so I wrote a bunch of cards to people in my neighborhood I posted on Nextdoor, first of all. I was like, if anyone sees this in the entire neighborhood, please find it and give it to me. Cash reward.
Did you put up signs? Lost jacket?
I was getting close to think. I was thinking about doing that. I wrote cards to people who have like the same number but different street in my neighborhood, being like, I'm your neighbor. I'm looking for this package. It was a handmade gift from my father. Please. And then I was like, I don't know if any of this is going to work. I posted on Twitter a picture of the jacket that my dad made, because he took a picture of it before he sent it to me. Saying like, here was my idea for this. I wanted the Seinfeld jacket. It hasn't arrived. If you find it, please, if you see someone wearing it, please take it off them and give it back to me. And people got really, really invested on my behalf, which I thought was very kind. And like a lot of people who were like sewers and crafters were like, this is devastating. Like, I made a bunch of hand sewn gifts for Christmas, and when they didn't arrive, I didn't sew again for 4 months. Like,
oh my
really,
God.
Like, which I totally understand. I understand feeling that devastated and not wanting to like being like, well, what? It's so much work goes into
it. It's so much work. Cards.
It's so much work. And my dad takes so much pride in the stuff that he makes. And so a couple different rogue postal employees who follow me on Twitter, or at least saw this story, were like, if you have the tracking number, I can look up the like the address where it was left. Now, I don't know why there would ever be a discrepancy between what's on the envelope and where it's left. Like, if you're scanning it and there's a difference, it should just like beep at you. But like, it's just one of those things where it's like, what are we using this technology for? But whatever. So the next day, one of them looked it up, and the address was a completely different street than the one I live on. And the address was a different number as well. It was like,
that's so frustrating. Yeah. Why did the person drop it off there? They were just like, close enough. I don't, how does that happen?
I will say I have solved this mystery, and so I will tell you how it happened. But okay. So the address that was in the system that was said where it was dropped off was on a different street, but they also had an image of the tag on the box. And even though my dad correctly wrote the address on the box, the tag that was printed out at the post office he sent it from had the wrong street. A very similarly named street to mine, but a different street. So, like the same first part of the word, but a different end of the word. Like if it was like Glen Ford or like Dingleberry versus Dingleson. Like, if I lived on Dingleson, got sent to Dingleberry Street. And the building that it got sent to was like a business park. And I was like, I'm just going to drive over to that business park and look at all of the business signs and call every one of those businesses. And I did.
Pound on the windows.
I basically called all of these businesses and they were all like, we don't have your package. And I was like, will you look for it? And they were like, I'll ask my employees about it. And I came home. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe I'm going to go back to this business park and put up flyers in case any of their clients. And it was one of those things where I was like, wouldn't the postal carrier get to this business and realize that this package doesn't have a suite number written on it? And maybe this is the wrong address. Like, how could this happen? And
yeah,
I was like, and it's the wrong number. Like, how did that happen? And Peter was like, oh, yeah, and I guess maybe there isn't the right number on that street. And I was like, oh, wait. And then I looked online, and right next door to that business park is the same number as my street, but it's a store. So it's like, you know, 123 Dingleberry Road versus 123 Dingleford Lane.
And that store was
Wiener
Schnitzel.
And I was like, oh. So I called the Wiener Schnitzel and I was like, do you have a package for Emily Heller that was delivered a week ago? And they were like, oh, yeah, we do. And I was like, oh my God.
And they were,
I thought
they've just been holding on to it.
They've just been holding on to it. And I think he was like, I mean, I get why it's like there's just employees manning a store being like, I don't know, maybe my boss wanted this for some reason, or like maybe someone else is going to deal with this. But he was like, oh yeah, I was about to call the post office and have them come pick it up. But, and I was like, I'll come get it right now. Don't do that. I don't trust them to come to bring it anymore. And so I went and I showed up and like, he brought it out to me. And it's so funny because I remembered when I called and I was like, do you have a package for Emily Heller? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, that's a weird way to respond. And then I got the package and it says like, to Emmertemers Heller.
Like, oh my God. Yeah.
He was like, yeah, sure. I guess that's right.
A name that's ungoogleable.
Yes. But thankfully, the mail carrier had not picked up all those cards to my neighbors yet. So I just pulled them out of my outgoing mail and didn't send them. But I got the jacket. It looks great. I don't know if this is an exciting saga or not. But yeah, so I found out that what happened was that they entered it wrong at the post office that my dad sent it from. I didn't know that that's what happened until I got the tracking info and the package back and figured out that, yeah. Because I also didn't know that he had addressed it correctly until I got it back and I could see that he had written it right. All I could see was the printed out label. But oh my gosh.
I'm so glad
we were
you got
so relieved.
It.
I'm like, my dad was like, I feel nauseous. Like, yeah. So really, really happy ending.
It's a really good jacket.
Yes. He did such a good job and it's so funny. And I was like, I bet you can make a lot of money making these. I don't know if, and he's like, I don't know. I think he's not as unless the demand is so overwhelming, I don't think he's going to do it because I think he likes having a bit more creative control over his makes. He's probably listening to this, so yeah. I don't want to speak for him and have him correct me. But yeah,
oh, I'm so glad
you found it. You can follow my dad on Instagram. My dad on Instagram is at a real Heller, and he posts pictures of everything that he makes, and
they're all really good. They're really nice.
And then I had a very slight update. Sorry. And then I will be done talking for the rest of the episode. a very slight update to the woman who flipped me off saga, which was that like I had been kind of avoiding that street as much as Alan would allow.
Oh God, I love this saga so much.
I mean, Alan insists on walking down that street, so there's not much I can do about it. But the last few times I had gone down that street, the car wasn't there. Like it just was never there anymore. And I was like, I wonder if. I had a new theory. I was like, I wonder if it wasn't even about anything that happened that day, but that she was just finally moving. And she was like, I've been wanting to flip this woman off the entire time I've lived here. And now that I'm leaving, I can do it. Like, it was like some sort of like long held grudge. And now she's like gone from the neighborhood or something. And that was my theory because I didn't see the car, but then I saw it today. So I don't think that's what happened.
Ah, fuck. Maybe, yeah, because if she was moving, maybe she was just planning to flip off like the first person she saw. But she did try to say something to you, too. And I'm just dying to know what it was.
I know. I mean, it was definitely directed at me specifically.
I'm so curious that I almost want you to like be nuts and go up to her and just be like, hey, you flipped me off the other day. What happened? Did I do something? That's how badly I want a solution to this mystery.
Oh man. Yeah,
she's nuts.
I don't know what her deal is. I mean, genuinely, what if she had said something to me that was like really? I can totally see there being a situation where this is justified. Honestly, like because she's...
What if she said was like, hey, can you do me a favor? Or like she really needed your help or something.
Yeah, exactly. If she was like, my father is dying inside. Will you help me go to the hospital? Or like, you know, but then that would also be wild if that was the situation. And then she was driving to go get the emergency services and she stopped to flip me off on her way.
Yeah, I don't think it was that. I just need to know what her problem is.
I know. I mean, my guess is because I think I stopped short when I saw her coming, and it was probably a coronavirus fear response that she could pick up on, and she was maybe being like, "Oh, you're judging me and my COVID behavior or something." But
oh, maybe.
I don't know. Anyway, God. I'm done. I'll let you know if anything else happens.
I just have something very stupid to recount, which is something I did absentmindedly. I don't think I've told you about this. It's a very small thing that made me think my brain was broken.
I mean, you've never told me a story about you doing something stupid. To my mind, this is the first stupid thing you've ever done. So
sure. Well, I microwaved a bowl of soup the other day, and we have a microwave that's like sort of above the oven.
Right. Yeah. I have that set up too.
Yeah, that's normal. And I microwaved it, and when it was done, I reached in to lift it out, but instead of lifting out the bowl of hot soup, I just tipped it forwards. tipped it. It was like a nobody's piloting the ship moment. Like just my brain was like, yeah, we just do this now. Just I went on autopilot and I tipped it forwards and the hot soup just it all fell out and dripped onto the fucking stove and the floor.
Oh no.
It went everywhere.
Oh no.
Because you're not supposed to ever do that with liquid. Like what did it was such a weird moment. And then I just like stared at what I had just done, like, what the fuck?
Was it one of those things where, like, you were trying to lift it up and your hand slipped, or that you just completely forgot what the plan was and you just tilted the bowl? Just as if that was the plan.
Completely forgot what I was doing and confidently tipped it forwards. There was no slippage. It was just like my hands were like, this is what we do now to get the food out.
Lisa, I do that shit all the fucking time. Just
do you? Oh my God. It frightens me. It frightens me when that happens because I'm like, it's so scary because it's just like, what else could I possibly do wrong? Like, will I suddenly forget like how to use a knife and like,
well, this
start
is
stabbing
thing.
Myself.
This is the thing is I think like it's important that we tell these stories now when we're young, because when we're older and these things start happening more and more, I need the reminder that I shouldn't have total independence when my facilities start to go, because I'm going to fight that. I'm going to fight people. I know I'm going to fight people wanting to intervene and keep me safe, but I need to remember that I did this stuff even at this age. And younger.
Yes. I might already have a form of dementia. I'm not sure what's happening. Well, I do feel like really foggy headed lately. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like when you have any sort of foggy headedness, it's like it can really just fuck you up. I remember this was not a recent example, but it's one that is like just burned in my memory. I think because I was like, I need to remember this anytime I'm feeling too confident about my ability to keep myself alive, which is that when I lived in New York, I was like really stoned and I had made myself something in the toaster and I tried to fish it out with a fork. And it was like, I was headed toward the toaster with a fork and my roommate stepped in and was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I was like, and I just like stood there looking at the fork in my hand and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And she was like, it's okay. That's why there's two of us here.
Just to check, it's okay to do that if you first unplug the toaster, right?
I have no idea. I definitely hadn't unplugged the toaster, but I think it is okay to do that if you've unplugged the toaster, right? At any rate, I don't have a toaster anymore. I have a toaster oven now, so that won't happen ever again.
That's a slightly safer. I had a moment during the pandemic where I gassed myself. Like I used, and like I knew this was a thing to look out for, and yet I did it anyways. I used like Windex and either bleach or vinegar.
Oh, shit.
In the same, and I was cleaning the shower and I seriously gassed myself, and I had to like spend the rest, like I had like nausea and a headache the rest of the day. And I felt so fucking stupid. Like,
yeah.
How did I not pay attention to what I was doing?
How am I an adult? How did I get here? What kind of soup was it, by the way?
It was like a soup that I had made with like chicken and tomato. It was like a tortilla soup kind of.
Okay.
And luckily I didn't spill all, like there was enough left in the bowl that I was able to have lunch, you know, and salvage it.
The thing that I do just all the time is I just will reach for something that was just in the oven, like the metal part of a, I'm just really stupid about that kind of thing.
Oh, me too. I should wear like mitts and a helmet at all times, basically. Probably. I'm like Adam might be, you know, he might start shooting this project he's been working on soon. And so he'll be out of town for like weeks. And I'm seriously worried, like being here alone, that I'm going to do something stupid.
You need to start.
I have like
training Annie to like
separation anxiety. Yeah.
Training Annie to keep you alive.
I should train Annie. I mean, it's like we've been quarantined together for a full year. I don't know how to live alone anymore.
Oh, wow.
I'm needy now.
Well, have you been apart? Like, maybe you'll flourish in a way that you haven't.
Yes, maybe. Maybe I'll get a lot done. I'll be really productive. Probably not.
I mean, yeah. Or maybe you'll just, like, you'll have different feelings than you feel now. Like, even if you feel good now with him around, like, maybe you'll just have a different kind of good feeling. Like, maybe you'll feel more independent. Maybe you'll have some space for some, you know, personal, you know, growth and experience that you haven't had. I don't know.
Maybe. I was thinking last night, I went to like a little outdoor dinner thing with a bunch of people who had been all vaxxed. And it felt crazy, you know, just being with friends outside. And I was thinking, like, I wonder if the pandemic helped my social anxiety at all, because like, we've all just gone through such an insane thing together that it kind of like, I don't know, it kind of pulled down some barriers or something.
Did you notice you felt more comfortable?
Yeah, because it was like a barn dinner thing with a lot of people at the barn who, you know, some of them I don't know as well as others. And, you know, I'm quite shy normally. And but I think, I don't know, I felt a little more relaxed than before.
I could see that, you know,
maybe
because when I did Birthright in Israel, the thing that people kept saying was that like Israelis, because military service is compulsory for everyone, whenever new Israelis meet each other, they have this instant icebreaker because they can just be like, where did you serve? And that's this like very heavy thing that they've all gone through that, you know, this is in no way an endorsement of the actions of the military of the state of Israel, so please don't read it that way. It's just that the idea, though, that like there is a kind of trauma bonding around like going through something like that, that you know other people have gone through, that like you instantly have this like rapport with them around it, that like allows you access to finding out this like, you know, interesting information and, you know, insight into who they are as a person. And so, yeah, that
maybe it's just the horses, the shared experience.
Yeah.
Insane of dealing with horses.
Well, and also I just think like we all went through this pandemic. I think maybe when we come out of it, we're going to be able to talk to each other about, because my personal feeling was I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to have anything interesting to say about this to anyone else. Like they've all gone through the same thing, but maybe it'll just be like, oh, yeah, we'll just all commiserate about what it was like for ourselves.
Yeah.
I hope that's the result for me too, because I'm nervous about socializing again.
I know, me too. I was really anxious about it. And I thought I would feel like more afraid, you know, of taking off my mask around other people. But no, I mean, yeah, I hope everyone can get vaccinated really soon, because it does make such a big difference.
Yeah. Ugh. I can't wait.
I feel so bad for people in other countries who are having so much trouble.
I know. They really need to fucking release the patents or whatever the fuck. Like, it's so inhumane and ridiculous that Biden hasn't, like, forced Pfizer and Moderna to release the patents. Like, we need to do this yesterday.
It's a global pandemic. It's like, global if one pandemic, country is suffering, we're all going to suffer.
Yeah. We need to be vaccinating everyone. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is a real time capsule episode. Literally, by the next time you all hear from me, I will be fully vaccinated. I have 1 week until I'm fully vaccinated and I can go hug people again, and I just cannot wait. This last week, I'm making a final last push to try and finish writing this movie that I said I was gonna write right when this started. I'm like, I got 6 pages. I'm gonna do it in this last week. Oh, that's a really stupid idea. We should go to our next segment. Which will be Chunch Chat, our regular segment where we talk about any news in the world of Martha Stewart's pony, Ben Chunch. We'll be right back with Chunch Chat. We know everything. Baby Geniuses is brought to you in part by Dipsy. Oh boy, we love Dipsy over here. Are you feeling cooped up right now? I don't know why you would be. Just kidding. We all feel quite a bit cooped up right now. If you are feeling that way and you need a little escape and are finding escapes hard to come by, consider Dipsy. Let yourself get lost in a world where good things happen and where your pleasure is the only priority. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on. Each Dipsy audio story features characters that feel like real people and immersive scenarios, so you feel like you're right there. And if you need to wind down, Dipsy also has wellness sessions, sensual bedtime stories, and soundscapes to help you relax before you drift off. For listeners of our show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/geniuses. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/geniuses. dipsystories.com/geniuses. Dip into it. Is that their slogan? It should be. You can have that for free, Dipsy. Dip into it.
Mr. Robotman, what are you doing?
I'm just taking one last look at my coworkers.
Every journey comes to an end.
Remember, Plek, the space will be with you always.
Sorry, who are you again?
Master Kieran.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Just calling in.
Friendships will be tested.
Dar, you have to do it. You have to shoot Plek.
Okay.
You shot him so fast.
Destinies will be fulfilled.
I've become a complete bird. I'm flying.
On April 28th, the saga starts concluding.
Guys, we don't have a choice. We have to put on a show.
We can do it in the old barn. We've got the costumes, we've got a stage. We can do it, you guys.
Mission to Zix, the final season on Maximum Fun.
Chunch. When the clock strikes noon, we could have a picnic lunch. Fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about chunch.
Chunch. Chunch. There's no new Chunch news this week. There's none.
Great. maybe instead we should use this time to talk about some funny restaurant names and business names that people have sent us.
Yes, business names. People have sent us a lot of these.
This is one of my favorite asks we've ever put out just because of the sheer number of responses and variety. Everyone has a fave. First of all, I want to shout out.
There are so many good ones.
Someone shouted out The Pampered Pup, which is a business I am very familiar with because it's from Alameda, California, where I grew up. It's on Park Street. And the thing that's funny about The Pampered Pup is that it seems like it would be a beauty salon, but it is a hot dog place.
I know. That's what really caught my eye, because I'm like, oh, Pampered Pup, it's just like a pet grooming place, whatever. But it
yes,
serve hot dogs.
It's hot dogs. And there's like a wiener dog on the signage, but it's a great, it's a great looking biz. And I've never eaten there, even though I used to eat hot dogs all the time.
Here's one I really liked. There's a place in Ontario called pizza... which makes it really seem like they're disappointed that it's just pizza.
Yeah, like they were expecting something else for their birthday. It's like,
oh, pizza. The punctuation is really strange.
Yeah.
And then they also sent one called The Man Cave, specializing in man cave.
I'm still unclear on what this business does.
There's another sign. I don't know. They said there's another sign outside that starts with items and goes on to list the types of things they sell, including worms and Coca-Cola memorabilia. And we figure it must have been a misprint with the subtitle meant to read specializing in man cave items. But as it stands, it sounds like a college major. I'm pursuing a doctorate in geology specializing in man cave. The sign is really funny. Man cave, specializing in man cave. Absurd.
Yeah. It also sounds like, you know, that like a straight person trying to come up with gay slang. You know, it's like top, bottom, verse, specializing in man cave. Is that one of them? I like someone named Jesse sent us two different names. One is from Paris. A place called The Game, just to eat, with a hamburger that looks like a basketball.
Terrible.
Terrible, but so funny. And then another one is a skincare place in Chicago that is, quote, so horrible I can't even really comment on it, can just post the link to their webpage. And it is On My Face, Please, Skin and Lash.
That's disgusting.
It's so gross.
How do they not know what that connotes? Do they know? That's what I always wanted. How do they know?
They must know.
They must know. We got another one similar to that. I keep driving past a business with a fairly plain storefront and a sign that simply says nutsack. I looked it up and found they are a bag company specializing in disc golf bags. And then there's an article about them.
I feel like that said,
Nutsack is using humor in its marketing approach. It doesn't joke about its name. He said the idea for the name is based on how people say it is nuts to manufacture bags in the U.S. out of natural materials.
What?
We're just a couple of nuts trying to make bags in the U.S. If other people are making double entendres, we have no control over that. That's our story, and we're sticking to it. Sure.
All right.
All right.
That sounds like, that gives me very strong, like, Tommy Wiseau, like, oh yeah, The Room is supposed to be a comedy.
Yeah.
It's like either, like, you have to really commit to, like, either it's on purpose or it's not, and it should be honest. This one is one of those ones where I'm like, how is this not intentional? Because it's got to be intentional, but the vibe of it doesn't seem intentional, but I love it. It's Ye Old Laser Car Wash. which I just think is so funny. Ye Oldie Laser Car Wash. Really funny. The signage does not give away that it's tongue-in-cheek in any way.
Found a new one in Echo Park that I've driven past a few times, and it's Yogurt. It's a yoga. It's a yogurt place.
Oh,
but it's just like
Yogurt.
Yoga/ert.
Is there any?
It really doesn't.
Do they do any yoga business?
I don't know. I haven't stopped to find out, and the name really just doesn't roll off the tongue. I don't like it. I'm sorry.
I have to I have to imagine, when's the last time we recorded? I can't remember if we talked about this one, because it sounds familiar that we would have, but maybe we didn't. When did we record last? I don't think we talked about this. The same person who sent us Blazing Salads also sent us Piz and Crap, or Pizza and Crepe. It's pizza and crepe, but without the A at the end of pizza or the E at the end of crepe.
So it's like piss and crap.
So it's like piss and crap. Yeah. It was in another one from France. So not sure it's supposed to be a joke, but who wouldn't want to eat at a place called Piss and Crap?
That's so gross.
It's very gross.
We got one that really drives me crazy. This is also in Ontario, a suburb of Toronto. Merchant of Tennis. I hate it. I hate that so much.
Yeah.
It's in like a bougie part of town, so they think that fits.
One of my least favorite types of puns are ones that are literally just like one of the words we want to use rhymes with a word in a phrase that has nothing to do with the concept we're dealing with.
Yeah. I mean, they are a merchant, so it does work on that level, but it's really pretentious, and the fact that it's a tennis shop is just like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I guess you're right. Ugh. I mean,
it's pretentious.
Yeah. All right. Is that all for Chunch Chat?
I think so.
That concludes Chunch
Chat. Chunch Chat's really just whatever we want it to be. The rest of this podcast.
All right. Okay. I was going to say before we go to Wiki of the Week, but Wiki of the Week is not the next segment. The next segment is One on Fun. We will be right back with One on Fun. Lisa, this is coming out.
Yeah.
This is coming out the day after the Oscars. So my one on fun question for you is, who is your dream Oscars host?
Oh my God. I really don't like the Oscars. Are you even going to watch them? I don't know if I'll watch.
I'm not sure. I canceled my cable recently, so I'm not sure if I know how to. I guess I'd have to like stream it or something. But yeah, I don't know.
I'm tempted because I like a spectacle. But yeah.
Ugh. I like being part of the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing that came to mind was it's like such a basic. This is the most basic answer. Is I do enjoy when Tina Fey and Amy Poehler host stuff, and also Maya Rudolph. I mean, that is the most boring answer though. But I think they're all so charming.
Yeah,
I'm cringing at myself. It's just such a go to. But like, I'm trying to think. Who would be like fresh, you know, but also funny and could handle that?
It's funny because I'm like, the people who are coming to mind, I don't think could actually handle it. Like, I think people would really hate it, but I would love to see Tim Robinson and Sam Richardson give it a whack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Okay. You're thinking someone who would do kind of like an ironic take on hosting it. And I really like where you're going with that.
Thinking about like they would do an ironic take, because I would like to see them earnestly trying, like just doing their Detroiters characters hosting the Oscars.
Oh my God, it would be so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Because you know, like Tim Robinson would like fuck up and then he'd be all mad and have like a tantrum about it. Oh God, it would be so fucking funny. It'd be so awkward. Oh.
Yeah,
no, you're right. That'd
just
be great.
If they just did the thing where someone accuses him of falling off the stage and a dog having sex with his head, and he's denying it.
Yeah. God, that would be 50 million times better than any other possible option. And it'll never happen, but oh my God.
It would also be really funny to watch Tim Robinson host it like in character as a Tim Robinson character, with Billy Crystal, and Billy Crystal not being in on that joke at all.
Yes. God, that'd be good.
All right.
I mean, I would watch Tim Robinson do pretty much anything.
Yeah, agreed.
Emily.
Yes.
I have to ask you a question.
Yes, you do. Don't think you're the most, you're not getting away with it.
Oh, I almost got away with it this time. What's the most disappointed you've ever been in a product?
Oh.
Well, you had high expectations and it crumbled.
I will tell you, Lisa, very eyes. Okay, so I have not always been the most discerning, skeptical shopper in the world. I have been known to be taken in by a number of scams. And one of the products in which really, like, I think the my expectations of it were high just because this is such a chronic problem for me that I thought it was going to solve. Where I bought this back brace that's supposed to fix your posture, that's just like a strap thing. Ooh. That goes around your shoulders, that's supposed to like pull your shoulders back. And
I've heard that those help. That's super tempting to get one of those.
Maybe they would. I was just like, oh, this is uncomfortable. I'm not going to fucking wear it.
Oh.
It's just like, I thought it was going to work painlessly and like just fix me. And I bought this 15 years ago.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And maybe it will. But and then I guess second to that is like literally every bra I've ever bought.
Yes.
Yeah. Every bra, I'm like, this is going to fix it.
I'm very disappointed by most of the underwear I've bought.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just none of it's great.
Every time a new ad for underwear like comes up on my Instagram algorithm, I'm like, ooh, maybe this one won't like ride up and like,
yeah,
make my ass look weird. And it's just, no.
Nope. It all does. And it's all bad.
It all does. Maybe my ass is to blame, but I refuse to acknowledge that.
I just feel like I think the other thing too that I'm always disappointed by is like long line bras. They always look really good on mm-hmm. the models, and like, and I'm not even saying like this is a like, oh, it like looks good on skinny people and it doesn't look good on me. It's like, no, like it looks good on the plus size models. It looks good on everyone. It looks comfortable. It's what I want. But I just have a very high waist. My waist is basically like right below my tits. And so anytime I buy a long line bra, it just rolls up at the bottom because my like love handles are right.
What's
up there.
What's a long line?
Long line is like where it's like, there's like a thick strap of fabric underneath where your tits start. So it's like the fabric goes down beyond. It's almost like a like in between a tank top and a bra, kind of, where it's like it's supposed to, the bra goes down and it's supposed to stop at your natural waist. But my natural waist is just higher than most people's. And so it goes past it and then it rolls up and then it just doesn't work for me.
Frustrating.
Yeah. So I'm disappointed in that. Let's change the tone and do our endorse whores for this week. Things that did not disappoint us. I think Lisa and I might have the same one this week. I'm not sure. Lisa thinks we might.
Baby geniuses endorse, letting nature take its course. Endorphins pump from the source when they hop up on that horse. Two babies, one endorse horse.
Endorse horse.
Endorsing services and items, no remorse. Two babies, one endorse horse.
Endorse horse.
Riding off into the sunset, now here's something we endorse.
Yeah,
my endorse horse this week is Rutherford Falls.
Yeah, mine too.
Yes, oh my gosh. Okay, so friend of the show, Sierra Teller Ornelas, has co-created a show with Mike Schur and Ed Helms called Rutherford Falls that is about a small town where that butts up against a fictional Native American tribe, and it's about the sort of interactions between the like descendants of the white settlers of that town and the tribe itself. And oh my God, it's just so fucking good.
It's really good. We watched the first two episodes on Peacock, which you can do for free. They just have ads, but it's great. And the cast is so charming. Like, I love Jana Schmeiding.
Jana Schmeiding, who was was a staff writer on the show and then got cast in the lead, which just makes me so giddy.
She's a star.
She's so fucking good. And it's one of those things that it is so hard to get networks to let you do something like that. And when someone does it and it works out so well, like when someone casts someone who has not been on TV before in the lead of their show, who is like a plus size woman of color who has never been on TV, who's like, you know, and then she just fucking kills it. She just knocks it out of the park. It makes me so happy as a viewer, but it also makes me so happy as someone who wants to make bold choices like that in casting when I have my own show. It just makes me so fucking happy.
And you can just see so much of like Sierra in the show, like the ways that she touched it and made it so special. And it's like, it's really good. It's really, really nuanced in a way that most shows aren't. But it's also just like a funny sitcom. It's really great. It's and like at least half the writer's room were Indigenous writers. And that really makes a huge difference.
It makes a huge difference.
It's so important.
And it's just like a view into this world that I just want to spend so much time in too, where it's like they're showing Native people on TV as like, you know, contemporaneous with the rest of America, which they are, like not treating them as a relic of the past. Mm-hmm. I've been reading literally all the press for the show because I'm obviously such a big fan of Sierra and I'm such a big fan of what they're doing on the show. But also it's just like, it all just makes me cry because I'm just so happy for her because she's just such a great person. But like one of the things that she mentioned in one of the interviews about it was that like when she was interviewing like lighting designers for it, the lighting designer who they ended up like hiring, like the idea that they had about it was that they were like, when they suggested that like for the look of the, like when they were following the stories of like the Native characters on screen, like the designs were like neon, like at the casino and like in every other scene, it's like neon was sort of the theme for that. And she was like, that's when I knew that's who I wanted to hire. Like anyone who's putting us in the future instead of in the past in terms of like the design of the show.
Wow, yeah.
Like, and when you watch it, it's like, oh yeah, it's very clear that like Ed Helms's character, Nathan Rutherford, who's also this guy who's like obsessed with history and the past. It's like when he's on screen, it's like, it's very rustic. It's very like, you know, kind of sepia. And like when the Native characters are on screen, it's like this vibrant blue neon stuff. And it's like, oh yeah, subtle things like that, that just undercut the way you've seen these people on screen before. It's just so huge. And it's also they make it look really low effort also. It's like one of those things where it makes you think like, why haven't we seen a bunch of shows like this?
Right?
Yeah.
All those little details make such a big difference.
I watched every episode within 24 hours. There's 10 episodes and I can't say enough about
I can't wait to see the rest.
It just makes me so fucking happy.
Also, Paul F. Tompkins is really fun in the second episode.
Paul F. Tompkins is in it. There's so many like fun people who show up and it's great. You should watch it. Get a free trial of Peacock and watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's time now for Wiki of the Week. Welcome to Wiki of the Week. This week's Wikipedia page was sent to us by Liana Solis, who famously was the first sleuth to crack the case of the mystery hot sauce. Adding to Liana's accolades as a listener of this show, this week's Wikipedia page is the Wikipedia page for Salmon Chaos.
Salmon Chaos. In March 2021, a wave of people in Taiwan changed their legal names to something involving salmon to take advantage of a promotion by the Japanese conveyor belt sushi chain Sushiro, offering free sushi, a phenomenon dubbed the Salmon Chaos by English language media. The incident garnered significant criticism by public figures and the general population.
That's so, so funny. I really wonder, I would love for anyone who is like a speaker of the language to tell us, because it's like whatever salmon is in traditional Chinese. And I just wonder if the word for that is something that isn't like as, like it would be like, well, what if the promotion was for like rosemary and like a bunch of people had to change their name legally to Rosemary? Like that wouldn't be that big of a deal. I could see a bunch of people doing that. Like in English, yeah. It sounds silly to change your name to salmon because not a lot of people have that name. And that seems like a really drastic step. But I'm very curious about that. It's really funny that so many people did it. Okay. Background. On May 20th, 2015, the NAME Act was amended to allow 3 legal name changes under 6 circumstances. Out of these, the 6th condition permits name changes under the following. The applicant's given name is unflattering or has an excessively long romanized form, or there are other special considerations. This condition was interpreted as allowing for any name a person wants. 3 days after the act was amended, a man adopted a new 15-character long name and then decided to run for mayor of Chiayi City. His name was the longest in Taiwan until 2020, when it was followed by a series of record-breaking names during the salmon chaos.
So the incident was between March 10th and March 21st, 2021.
So this is hell of recent.
2021. This was recent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sushiro ran an advertising campaign revolving around salmon sushi. On March 15th, Sushiro began advertising an upcoming promotion through their Facebook page. On March 17 and 18, people whose names are homophones with the Mandarin Chinese word for salmon could dine at discounted prices. So that means that several people do already have this name.
Yeah, like Guiyu.
Guiyu.
Yeah.
Guiyu. Additionally, people whose names had the exact characters for salmon could eat for free with up to 5 other people.
Wow.
It's a pretty good promo for people with this name.
Oh my gosh.
So then on March 16th, a comedic news channel owned by the internet forum CK101 posted to Facebook a picture of 3 identification cards of university students with the names Liao Salmon, Zhangjian Salmon, and Liu Pinan Handsome Salmon. The post quickly became viral on the internet, leading to more people following suit, changing their names, intending to change them back after the promotion ended.
Wow.
Smart.
Yeah, smart.
Anything for free fish.
The record for longest name was repeatedly broken. It was first 36 characters, then 40 characters, then 50 characters. In a widely publicized story, a Taichung University student used his 3rd and final name change into Zhang Salmon Dream and was horrified upon learning that it would be permanent. Oh, because you're only allowed to change it 3 times. Okay, yeah. That's what they mean by the name act.
But it's a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taichung's Civil Affairs Bureau indicated that he had only changed his name twice and urged him to change it back. The Liberty Times reported that by March 19th, at least 332 people changed their name for the event. Wow.
Has this chain gone out of business?
I know. Well, so there was a burrito place in San Francisco, I forget what, that was like gonna give free burritos if you got a tattoo of their logo. But that's different because that is permanent.
Yeah, and tattoos cost money.
Yeah.
Like, could people just get like a stick and poke from a friend?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
I don't think I would do that. I think I would just pay for a burrito.
Yeah, I think so too. But, you know, that's my life circumstance.
Rob says it was Casa Sanchez.
Oh, yeah, it was Casa Sanchez. Okay.
Is that the place?
I remember that.
Reactions. Government officials and politicians condemned the name changes. Some employees at household registration offices, which processes the name changes, reportedly tried to persuade applicants against changing their names with varying degrees of success.
Oh my gosh.
Deputy Minister of the Interior Chen Sung-yen remarked, "This kind of name change not only wastes time, but causes unnecessary paperwork."
I mean, that is the thing. Like, you're really tying up government bureaucracies by doing this to get free sushi. That seems costly. The public's
but free sushi.
But free sushi. Yeah, that's true. The public's reaction to the name changes were generally negative. Multiple writers commented on a split in ethical values between older and younger generations. Criticism was also targeted against food waste generated during the craze after images of people only eating the fish and leaving behind the rice surfaced online. What? After foreign news agencies reported on the story, multiple Taiwanese news outlets called the incident an international embarrassment. Writer Nick Wang defended the name changes.
I disagree.
Yeah. Writer Nick Wang defended the name changes to saying that there's nothing wrong with being greedy and saving money.
Well, there are things wrong with being greedy.
There are things wrong with being greedy. But saving money, I don't know. It's just like a really funny quote.
Food waste is bad.
Yeah.
That is funny. Food waste is bad. Don't waste rice.
Yeah. Oh, wow. There's one note that I think one of the people who had like the record for the longest name was it translates to there's personal information redacted. I guess all of these are pretty funny. All of the notes are like the longest names and what they translate to. The first one is Taiwan's world's greatest man, president and god of wealth. The second one is Chen Love Taiwan abalone tuna salmon snow crab sea urchin scallop lobster wagyu, followed by the names of several hotels, which is really funny because it sounds like they were just like they were just like, I'm betting that there's going to be other promotions in my future.
Yeah, I think that's really funny and smart.
Yeah. The one that broke that record is his surname Lee, then 8 characters pronounced Gui, then the word for salmon, then 19 characters pronounced you, and finished with whatever I can't think of anymore.
Why? Was he just trying to beat the record?
I think so, yeah. And also, I guess, be hilarious, which worked. And then the final one, the one...
Oh my God, this last one is so good.
Yes.
Oh, I love this
one. Do you want to read it?
Sure. This name translates to Chen, former name, has a black dragon cannon and turned into nickname on March 14, 2021, is in a steady relationship with girlfriend name. Love you. You are my only love for the rest of my life. In this life, I want to eat salmon with you. And black dragon cannon is a rare in-game weapon in Counter-Strike Online.
So funny.
So this is just some dork who's so in
love
with his girlfriend.
It's basically just like adopting your display name from social media. Or like your full bio from Instagram.
I love it so much.
I love it so much. Thank you.
I think that's very sweet.
Thank you for sending this Wikipedia our way. Now that I realize this was so recent, I'm absolutely going to look up more information about it, because this is one of those ones where I'm like, oh, I wonder how much this Wikipedia page is going to change over the next year or two.
Yeah.
It's real fresh right now.
No, I want to know like if the restaurant, it's so fresh, it's fresh fish.
Yeah.
I wonder if the restaurant like issued any statements about this or regretted it or what. I just want to know what it feels like from their side of things.
Very curious.
This has made me hungry for sushi.
Me too.
I'm not the biggest salmon fan. That is not my fish of choice, but you know, still looks really tasty.
That concludes Wiki of the Week. It's time now for What Did I Learn? Lisa, what did you learn today?
What did I learn today? Oh my God. Fuck, what did I learn? I don't know. I think I learned that if you're greedy and you want free stuff, I think that's all right. I think there's a way. What? I don't know. I'm panicking.
You learned that today?
No, I didn't learn that. I knew it all along, okay? I was just trying to seem innocent.
Yeah.
How far would I go for free food?
I'm just a little baby. I'm just a little baby. I'm an innocent little baby, and my name is Wisa.
I'm almost 40 and I'm a rascal, okay? I don't know. What have you learned?
Oh boy. I guess I learned that there are a bunch of people who changed their name to Salmon. So that's something.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know that before. And I know
all
that
learned
now.
That.
Yeah. That's our show.
I have a whole bunch of butt picks, but I'm going to save them for next episode, which will be part of Max Fun Drive. So
ooh, get yes.
your butts ready for that.
That is a great
it's
call.
It's going to be good.
Great.
Yes, and we did record a bonus episode for Max Fun subscribers that is really good, I think.
It's really fun. You guys are going to learn some secrets about Rob, our producer, who I'd like to thank for his help on this episode and all episodes.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks to
and thank you to Nate Heller for doing all our music.
You can email us at babygeniusespodcast@gmail.com.
Please send us wiki links and weird store names and whatever else you want to send us. Yeah. We love getting mail.
And goodbye.
And goodbye. Yay.
Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything.
Max Fun Drive's almost here. It starts on Monday, May 3rd, ends on May 14th, and it's the best time to support the shows you love. Here are some folks like you sharing what Max Fun and our shows mean to them.
Most importantly, it's meant community.
And just thanks for hanging out, making joke 'em ups, and making my week a little bit brighter.
So, thanks, Max Fun, for making me a better person and making sure that I'm surrounded by better people.
Thanks again for all you do. Love supporting Max Fun, and keep it up.
Come back Monday, May 3rd for more details from your favorite hosts. We'll have some of the best episodes of the year, special Max Fun Drive thank you gifts, and maybe a few surprises. That's Monday, May 3rd. Until then.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.